hug somebody's neck, give them a high five, shake their hand, kiss them on the cheek if you're kin to them, and then you can be seated this morning. Whoa. Save a little of that, honey. Hey, y'all put your hands together for the worship team and the tech team and all that, making it all sound good and work good over here in the multi-purpose building. So, hey, welcome, man. We're glad you're here today. It's exciting to be here. It's always good to come hang out. And so thanks for holding the fort down last week. How about Pastor Robert Miller coming in and sharing? Didn't he do a great job last week? And so, yeah, I've got several requests. They're like, next time you're going to be gone, please bring Pastor Miller back. And so we'll have him back. And so thanks for letting me go. Went to California, did a men's retreat out there, and then preached at a church. And so I'll just say this. It is a shame that the people of California are plumb crazy, because that's a beautiful place out there. I stayed with some Spanish folks, and they cooked us some steaks one night. And the last night I was there, and the wife said to her husband, "Honey, I need some lime juice and some lemon juice for my guacamole. Would you go get me some?" And I'm thinking, well, we're going to the grocery store. He goes, "Sure, babe." And so I followed him out the back door, around the swimming pool, and to the lemon tree and the lime tree. And they came back in. I was like, hey. It's pretty cool out there, though. So anyway, thank you guys for holding down the fort. Thank you for allowing me to go and share the gospel in other places. Today, we welcome you. Today's a special day for a couple of reasons. Today is a special day because today we celebrate Memorial Day. How many of you are proud to be Americans today? Come on, somebody. I realize that America is not the America that it once was, and I realize that America is not Mayberry and it's not Andy Griffin. I realize all that, but just be reminded today, this is still the greatest nation in the world, where we have the freedom to worship God and we can choose the job that we have. This is the great nation, and never ever forget all the men and women that have given their life and that have died and shed blood. Never forget the wives who have lost husbands. Never forget the children who have lost moms and dads because of the brave men and women that were willing to fight for the freedoms that you and I experienced today. Come on, somebody, one more time. Put your hands together for... Today is special because today is Memorial Day, but today is also special because today is Pentecost Sunday. It's when we celebrate the birth of the church as we know it today. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate when the Holy Spirit fell for the first time with fire, when the Holy Spirit empowered the church to be and do all that God has called us to do. I'll just tell you, I'm fixing to pray because I need the Lord to give me a little, to regulate me a little when it comes to this message. Because this message absolutely changed my life. This message absolutely changed my marriage. It absolutely changed the trajectory of my children. This message is the reason that I am here pastoring today. This message fires me up today, y'all. Because it changed my life. And so I pray that it would change your life. And I pray the Lord would speak to you. And so let's just pause a moment and pray. Father, we thank you for today. And thank you for every person that's gathered here today. Thank you for the praise and the worship that's went up to your throne today. Because you are good. And today is absolutely all about you. Thank you for salvation. But thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit. Open our minds. Open our hearts to hear and receive what your word says today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. A message, a scripture that changed my life, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. I never read the book. I joke and I tease, but I grew up in the Baptist church and we never read the book of Acts. Can I hear a good amen? Because it was the Holy Spirit book, and it was the book where the Holy Spirit fell, and it changed everything. But when I read it, it changed my life forever. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power." Everybody shout power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, how many of us don't like power? Come on, somebody. Like, who wants to ride a weak, gutless horse that when you rope a calf, it has no power to pull a calf? Come on, somebody. We want a powerful horse, a horse that's full of power, a horse that can run in the roping pen. We want power. We want power. Like, how many of you want to buy a truck, and when you hook onto your trailer, it's a weak, gutless truck, and it wouldn't pull. Come on, somebody. You want power. Everybody say power. See, when Christians get saved, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we're forgiven, and we're changed, and we're new creation, and the blood is what makes us be adopted in the family of God. But without the Holy Spirit, we have no power. And we have to understand that, and we have to believe that. And so what does this mean? What does this mean, power? Where does this power of the Holy Spirit, where does it come from? And so I'm going to answer those questions today. Where does it come from? The power of the Holy Spirit comes straight from heaven. It's not from money. It's not from the government. It's not from your job. It's not because of a title. The power of the Holy Spirit comes straight from heaven. I've always sort of felt led to try to explain what the Holy Spirit really is. Because I'll be honest with you, I grew up going to church, and thank God for the church that I grew up going to. I got saved in that church. They told me about forgiveness, and they told me about the blood of Jesus, but they never told me about the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was confusing, and I didn't know what it was. And so today I want us to take a little bit of time. I want us to look at the Word of God and see what the Holy Spirit really is. Can I just tell you that the Holy Spirit is not an it that we need to define? The Holy Spirit is not a ghost that, freaky weird stuff that we should be scared of. The Holy Spirit is not the third part of the Trinity that remains silent that nobody talks about. I want you to understand that we serve a God that is a Trinitarian God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three parts, but He is one God. I want us to understand that today. And a way that helped me to understand it, and I pray that will help you understand it, is this. How many of you have fruit trees in your house? Or you had them in your parents' house? Or you had them at your grandparents' house? Let me see you raise your hand. Peach trees, pear trees, apricot trees. Come on, somebody. It don't get much better than homemade peach preserves. Can I get a witness? Or apricot cobbler. A peach tree. A peach tree, it forms a bud. And within that bud is everything that is needed to produce fruit. It's the bud head. It's the God head. And at the certain point in spring, when the rains have come and the sun has shined down, that bud busts forth and it is a blossom. And how many of you know, blossomed or fruit tree, they smell great, y'all. They have this great fragrance, the apple blossom or the peach blossom or the wild plum blossom. But in order for that tree to produce fruit, that blossom has to die and go away, and then the fruit comes forth. That is much like the Trinity. It's much like God the Father. The blossom is Jesus Christ. That is what is pretty. That is what's fragrant. The grace of God being offered to you and I. But much like Jesus had to die, the blossom had to die. And then what produces fruit is the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we cannot produce fruit, and we cannot be all that God has called us to be without embracing the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to raise your hands. I wonder how many of you grew up in a church and you knew about Jesus, but you just never got taught the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 27:6 says this, "In days to come, Jacob will take root, and Israel, the church, will bud, will blossom, blossomed and produced almonds." God is the bud, Jesus is the blossom, and the Holy Spirit is the fruit. Now, let me explain this to you right quick, a little bit further. How many of you thank God that God walks with us daily? Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just hang out in the Bethel Multipurpose Building? Aren't you glad that He goes with us? Because I don't know about you. Us everywhere that we go. Let me explain that. What part of God goes with us? If God is a Trinity, what part of God goes with me daily? What God? Part of God empowers us? It's the Holy Spirit. Because watch this. Psalm 47:8. God the Father reigns over the nations, and God is seated on His holy throne. How many of you know God the Father is seated on His throne? And Romans 8:34 says this. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, watch this, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So God the Father is on the throne in heaven, and Jesus, after He rose from the dead, has ascended to the right hand of the Father. That means they are in heaven. So which form of our Trinitarian God is it that dwells with us and walks with us and talks with us daily? It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God. Here's the deal. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, you know the story. He lived 33 years of sinless life. They falsely accused him. They hung him on the cross. They murdered him. They buried him in the tomb. On the third day, he rose again. He hung around with them a little bit. And then he had some conversations with them. And here's what Jesus said. I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the advocate. I'm going to send the counselor. I'm going to send the helper. I'm not going to leave you without power. Let's look at the words of Jesus. John 16:7. Jesus said this, John 16:7. Jesus said, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him unto you. How many believe this? Now look at me, look. How many believe Jesus was God who took upon flesh and lived on this earth? He was God. He came down and he dwelt. Jesus was in the flesh. And how many of you know flesh is confined to gravity? Flesh is confined to this earth. Like I can only be at one place and one time. Let me give an example. Jesus had this friend. His friend's name was Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus was traveling. Jesus had spent time with them. He had eaten in their kitchen. He had hung out in their living room. Jesus is on his missionary tour doing what Jesus does. And while Jesus is over here in another town, Lazarus gets sick. And you know what happens to Lazarus? Lazarus died. 4 days later, Jesus heard of the death of his friend, and Jesus came walking up. And when Jesus got there, Lazarus's sister said, if only you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But Jesus was in the flesh. He couldn't be over here in this town, and then he couldn't be over there with Lazarus as well. Flesh is confined. That's why Jesus said, it is a good thing that I go away. Because how many of you know the Spirit of God is not confined to one place at one time? The Spirit of God can be moving at Bethel Anson, and the Spirit of God can be moving at Bethel Sweetwater, and the Spirit of God can be moving at Bethel Stanford, at Bethel Albany. He can be moving in my home. He can be moving at your home. The Spirit of God can move everywhere, all the time, wherever he is needed. That's why we have to embrace the Spirit of the living God. John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Watch this. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. I'm glad you come to church. I'm glad you're here this morning. Because how many of you have ever seen Lonesome Dove? Can I hear a good amen? Come on, somebody. You're like Captain Colin. I'm like Gus. The only chance you got at a good education is listening to me talk. You come here and the Lord will teach you the Word of God. But here's the deal. The Holy Spirit will teach you. If you get a Bible out, I don't care if it's King James Version. I don't care if it's the NIV Version. I don't care if it's the NLT Version. If you get the Bible out and you have an earnest desire to read and to study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will reveal the Word of God and make it come alive to you when you're at home and when you're on and not when you're just at church. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. But, oh, Cody, I don't want to do that. That's too hard. That takes too much of my time. I'd rather watch TV and rather watch Yellowstone and turn Netflix on and go out and rope and go do these things. But, no. If you want to learn the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. You can grow and learn the Word of God. Luke 24:49 says this, I'm going to send what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. These are the last words recorded in the Gospels of Jesus Christ to his 12 disciples. He said, I'm going to send the promise of the Father. Jesus said, I'm going to send the promise of the Father. Can I tell you something? There's a difference in just a promise and the promise. Come on, somebody. There's a difference in a woman and the woman. Like the women used to, they dug me, I'm just saying, back in the day. But there was only one that was the woman for me. Like I dated some others and I liked some others, but there was the one. And the Holy Spirit is not a promise of God, it is the promise of the Father. It is the promise and the thing that you and I need to live a life that glorifies God. It's the promise. How did this go down? So Jesus said the Holy Spirit's coming. How does it go down? What happens? Let me just read some scripture to you. Acts 1, 12 through 15, Jesus said, go and wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 1, 12 says this, then the apostles returned from Jerusalem. They returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. They were at least obedient. They were. Can I tell you, these 120, they were a bunch of screw-ups and mistake makers, and they messed up a whole lot of stuff, but at least they were obedient to God. Can I tell you, you don't have to be perfect. Just be obedient to what God's calling you to do in this season. They go to Jerusalem. When they arrived, they went upstairs. They went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here's the names of those people that were there. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas. They all met together, and they were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers were together, Peter stood up and addressed them. Jesus had just left. Their pastor's gone. The one they followed for 3 years. They'd given up their lives and their jobs and their families to follow this one, and now he's gone. And he says, go to an upper room. Here's what I love about those 120. They went to an upper room. There was no air conditioning. There was no padded seating. There was no cool worship leader. There was no denominational name over the door. There were just 120 people that wanted more of God, and they trusted the word of God, and they were being obedient. They went upstairs, and they were united in prayer for 10 days. And they cried out, God, what's this promise? God, we need your power. And the power of God fell on the day of Pentecost today. So what caused that to happen? What caused the Holy Spirit to fall? This is for you and for me. The first thing I believe is this. Relationships centered around Christ and the Word of God. That's where God's blessing will be. Relationships. These 120, they had no one else. They had nothing else. These 120 were bound together. Relationships, friendships, marriages, things, relationships around Christ will bring the power of God. And the next thing you see is this, humility. These people didn't think they had it figured out. Can I tell you, I really believe, you know what causes the problem in the church nowadays, why things don't work very good and why we don't see God move? Because we're full of pride. We're full of arrogance. We think we got it figured out. We think we know it all. We think we can handle it all. The Bible says God is close to a broken and contrite spirit. And if you need God to move, and if I need God to move in our church, it's going to start with a place of humility where we go, I'm getting over myself. I'm getting over what I want. I'm getting over the way they did me. I'm over everything. I am nothing. I am blessed. But the reason I am blessed is because of the grace of God and nothing else. When we have friendships based around Christ, and when we have humility, and the third thing is, you know what the third thing is, can I tell you? It's when we begin to pray. Oh, I thought y'all would shout amen right there. Because nobody wants to pray. Come on, let's be real. I don't want to pray unless it's a Hail Mary. I don't want to pray unless things are going to hell in a handbasket. I don't want to pray unless everything is jacked up, fouled up, and screwed up. Can I tell you, these 120 people went to an upper room and they prayed for 10 days. People say to me all the time, why don't we see God move? Why don't we see the miracles that we used to see? The fact of the matter is because we are not willing to pray. We struggle. I struggle to pray for 10 minutes, much less 10 days. Can I get a witness? Relationships around Christ, humility and brokenness, and when we pray, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, and pray, God says, then I will come, and I will heal their land. These 120 were in this upper room. Their hearts were right. They prayed. Boom. The power of God fell, and it changed their life forever. I was very hesitant to share this today, just because if you've been to church here very long, you've heard my story before. But I'm telling you, this story is my story. This really is a game changer. I grew up going to the little Baptist church back home. I mean, it's what we did. We went on Wednesday nights. We went on Sunday mornings. We had our pew. It was the Rutledge pew. You better not sit in my pew or my grandmother would run you out of. She was a guard dog when it come to her pew. Come on, somebody. It was that pew we went on Wednesday night, and they had a meal for the old folks. It cost $2. It was boiled chicken and boiled green beans. Come on, somebody. I sang in the youth choir. We had RAs. I did all of those things. And from a very young age, I wanted to serve God. From the very young age, I wanted to try to do right. I wanted to be honorable. I wanted to be a man of character. And at about age 18 or 19, I found myself, I was a straight-running whoremonger. I was a straight-running loser. I was a straight-running home wrecker. I had become the person that I swore that I would never become. I tried to do it in my own power. I tried to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, like the world had told me, like the cowboy culture had told me, you're tough, you can handle this, you can do this. And I found out I couldn't do it. And in my brokenness and my humility, I began to pray to God. I began to surround myself with some relationships, like number one, the relationship with Tubby and her family. And I began to pray. And in my brokenness, I said, help me, God. And I will never, ever, ever forget the day that when we lived in Guthrie, Texas, when we were going to Roaring Springs Full Gospel Church, and Ricky Lawrence preached on a Sunday morning about the power and the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I cried like a little bitty girl. I had got up and walked the aisle at Wiley Baptist Church one time to give my life to Christ when Oscar Fanning was the preacher. After that, I had never walked the aisle again. But that day, I was broken enough. I wanted that Holy Spirit, and I walked to the front with tears in my eyes, and I said, Ricky, I'm tired of being a failure. I'm tired of screwing it up. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. I need this power. And he said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And I'm telling you, I have not been perfect since that day. I have made some mistakes. But since that day, I have stood up and I have shined the light. And I've shouted from the rooftops that Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is a game changer. It changed my life. When I surrendered, tough word, can I hear an amen? When I surrendered, swallowed my pride, sacrificed, and said, Holy Spirit, I need you. I want to just tell you something today. That promise, it's available to you today. You don't have to do a certain thing. You don't have to pray a certain way. You don't have to attend church long enough. You don't have to put enough money in the plate. That promise of the Holy Spirit is available to you. And some of you, you've been lied to your whole life. And some of you, nobody has ever told you there's a power out there. And some of you, you've been getting your butt kicked. And some of you have been wearing yourself out because you're a failure. But I'm telling you, today the Lord has opened your eyes and opened your heart. And today is a new day. You are set free from all that other junk. Today, now you can know that the power of the Holy Spirit can live inside of you. Phew. It's for you, Acts 2, 38 through 39. Peter replied, Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter replied, each one of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. Then, once you are saved, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise of the Spirit, it's for you, it's for your children and those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. The Holy Spirit is available to every born-again believer. Watch this, Acts 19. I want to tell you something today. The baptism, the infilling, the power of the Holy Spirit, it is a different thing than your salvation. It is. I'm fixing to prove it to you in Scripture. You don't just get saved and get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's two different things. Once you get saved, born again, washed, then you must in humility ask God, give me that power. Watch what the Scripture says. Acts 19, verse 1 through 4. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Several people who had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Several people who had been washed in the blood. Verse 2, Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them, no, they replied. We haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience, he asked. And they replied, the baptism of John, which is water baptism. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. Once you believe, once you're baptized, there becomes another step. Watch this. Watch this. How many, let me tie this scripture together. Because how many know all scripture ties together and all scripture backs each other up? Mark 1, 7 through 8. John announced, this is John the Baptist, Mark 1, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. John says, I'll baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I got a question to ask you today. Have you been filled with the Spirit of God since you believed? Have you asked the Lord? I want some more. I need some more. I need power. My power is not enough. Do you need power? Do you need more power? Let me answer that for you. Yes, you do. I'm getting ready to close, but I'm going to tell you this. For some of you, you're just like me. You struggle with the same freaking issues your entire life. The same ones, they are kicking your butt today just like they kicked your butt 6 or 8 or 10 or 15 years ago. And that is a sorry attitude. That's a victim mentality. Nobody likes me. Everybody's out to get me. I've been mistreated. I've been wronged. I deserve more. You struggle with addiction. Some of you, you're struggling with addictions to alcohol, to tobacco. You're struggling with all these addictions to pornography. You're struggling with all of these things. So many of us, we struggle with the same old crap, but we will not surrender and sacrifice and lay ourselves down and ask the Holy Spirit to come and empower us. Us to be more and to be better. It's just the way it is. I'm not telling you I'm perfect, but I played this game. I played the church game. And the devil kicked my butt for years, but I'm telling you, when I finally embraced the Holy Spirit, it gave me power to lay down some addictions. Come on, somebody. It gave me power to be able to renew my jacked up, messed up mind and be more than I used to be. It gave me power. Let me ask you this. How many of you need more power right now where you are? You don't have to raise your hand. Just how many of you need more power? Let me ask you another question. How many of you need power? Maybe you go, you know what, Cody, I'm pretty good right now. God's given you the power that you need, and you're enjoying a little bit of success and a little bit of victory right now. How many of you need power from where the Lord wants to take you and not where you are right now? Because I'm going to tell you, Connor said it a while ago, I'm going to tell you about me. Where I'm at, I'm not staying here because my God is a good God. He wants to take me from glory to glory, and God wants to do a new thing. And where God is taking me is exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what I'm experiencing right now. We may be stuck in a multipurpose building right now, but we're finna build a new facility over there that's going to house more people and bring more glory to God than we could ever ask, imagine, or think about. And so you know what? I don't just need power for right now. I'm ready to grow and do more, but God's got to give me more power to be successful up here because new levels bring new devils, but God wants to empower us to overcome no matter what level we're on. Conrad, worship team, come help me close, please. How many of us, as we look at our life and look at our heart and look at our marriage, look at our relationships, say, I need some more power? It's tough. It's hard to look and go, I'm failing. I'm failing at relationships. Some of you, you got no meaningful relationships, none. You got no friends, you got none. I'm just being honest with you, okay? Some of you are failing right now. And as you look at you, it's hard to accept failure. But when you look at yourself with failure, that's when you have humility and you go, Lord, I need some help. Give me power. Here's the good news. Romans 8:11. How many believe Jesus is alive forevermore today? Say a good amen. Watch this. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus was buried in the tomb. The Bible said he died on the cross. He gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. He was a dead man. They took him off the cross, buried him in a tomb, and they confined him to that tomb behind a large stone. No man could penetrate that stone, but like we said earlier, the Holy Spirit is not confined to flesh. And even the stone covered up the tomb on the third day. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit and it penetrated behind the wall. And the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit said, get up. It's time to go show the devil that you're more than a conqueror. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead now lives inside of you and I. Whew! Come on, y'all. That Spirit lives in me. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If God be for me, who shall be against me? No weapon formed against Cody and the Spirit of God shall be able to prosper. Here's the question you have to ask today. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Maybe for some of you today, you've never really asked the Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You never ask. And you're much like I was 25 years ago. You just need to ask. But then there's some of you, you got filled 10 years ago. But the oil has run out of your lamp. How many of you, parents or grandparents, had a coal oil lamp in the house when the electricity went out? Come on, somebody. My nanny Jean had one. It was around the bar. Ricky, I know you've seen it. Hung up right up there. We never used it till the electricity went out. She'd take it down. She'd turn that little wick up. She'd light that thing, you know, put the globe back on. You have to adjust it where it don't do the black smoke on the white ceiling. Come on, somebody. Once in a while, the oil would burn out. You have to unscrew it, pour some more oil in it. And so some of you today, that's where you are. You once were full and you once were burning bright. But over the years, this has happened and that has happened and the enemy's come in. Whatever excuse there might be, there's no oil in your lamp and you can't even burn. You're not burning and you can't even burn. And you need to say, Lord, fill me up once again with your Spirit so that you can burn brightly. So I want to ask you to stand on your feet as we close. We're going to close with a song of worship. Everybody bow your heads for just a moment. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. Nobody looking around. If you've never asked the Holy Spirit to fill you up, but today you say for the first time, I need that power. Would you just raise your hand right now and let the Lord see? Nobody's looking around. God bless you. Thank you. Okay, how many of you maybe have been filled, but you say as you look at your life today, your attitude, your relationships, your heart, you say, I'm empty. I'm not burning. You want to be refilled. Would you just raise your hand right now? Let the Lord see. Father, we just love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for humility. We thank you for these humble hearts and men and women in this place that all they want is more of you. All they want is your power. All they want is to be the best that they can be, Lord. And their heart and their focus and their mind is on you right now. And so, Lord, those that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I cast away fear. I cast away worry. And I pray that in humility they would open their hearts. And I pray, God, you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour out the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. You would empower husbands and wives. You would empower parents. You would empower us. Lord, I pray for those who have let the oil run out of their lamp. Lord, I pray that you would fill them up. And right now, they would begin to burn once again. No longer would they smolder. No longer would they just sit there. But they would burn once again with the fire of God and the light of Christ would shine through them. Lord, move in this service. Move in this congregation. Thank you for Pentecost Sunday and thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.